Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my awesome co-host, Dr. Ayo Kadar and Mr. Billy Miller. Thank you guys for joining us again. You know, this is part two of the conversation we started last week. We talked about relationships. And it was a phenomenal conversation that we had last week. It was so much fun. There was a shift in the conversation. It turned a little bit. You know, some things came out that we didn't expect, but that's what's great about Mind Shift. You never know what to expect on Mind Shift Talk Radio. The one thing you can expect to receive when you listen to the show is a healthy perspective and a different perspective on most topics. So, again, we thank you for joining us. We thank you to those of you that are in the chat room, those of you listening online, those of you that would like to call in. Feel free to join this conversation and give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. Now, like I said, this is part two of this conversation, and we had to have a part two to this conversation because it got so heated, it got so interesting, there were some things that were shared, you know, and people in the chat room were just going nuts. It was hilarious in the chat room last week, and so we had to have a part two, and this week we have a couple of new guests on the line with us. And these new guests are still going to continue the conversation, but like we said, we want to have that healthy mix, you know, different perspectives, so we switched it up a little bit. We have a couple of familiar voices that will be on here, but you'll hear some new people and get some new perspectives, so I'm very excited about that. But basically, to give you a recap, in case you may have missed the show last week we really talked about how our relationships with our parents and the relationships that we witnessed growing up affect our ability to not only develop but to maintain healthy adult relationships. Now, those may be personal relationships, they may be business relationships, whatever it may be. But basically, we discussed how what we saw as children has affected how we respond to relationships now. Whether that be trust issues, whatever, insecurity issues, whatever it may be, we talked about that direct correlation. And so it was a great conversation. And I wanted to go ahead and continue that. But before we go into that, I do want to introduce you guys to our two new guests that are joining us this week, as well as our two guests from last week. Now, last week, you know, there was an uproar. People were excited. People were saying all kinds of stuff in the chat room about this one gentleman from Atlanta. And Jason, are you on the line with us right now?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, welcome to the call, Jason. And thank you for getting on again this week. You know, Jason was a star of the show last week, and Jason shared some perspectives, and we're going to let him do a recap shortly. But we have Jason on the line with us. We also have Miss Jessica from Texas. Hey, Jessica.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back. And then we have two new kids on the block, I guess I'll call you guys. We have McCartney joining us from Atlanta, and we also have Jada joining us from Atlanta. So welcome to the both of you. Thank you for joining us on Mind Shift Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody.
You're welcome. Good evening.
Hey. All right, Billy, Ayo, what's up?
Hey.
I don't hear you. I know you were in a chat room going nuts last week, and we miss you. We really did miss you, but we kept it kosher since you weren't here last week to make some noise, but I'm glad you're here this week.
Thank you. Yeah, guys, I was in a chat, and I was like, whoa. But I am back on this week, so I'm definitely glad to be a part of the conversation. So, interesting stuff.
Awesome. Now, Ayo, you were on the call with us last week. Like you said, I know you were going nuts in the chat room. What were your thoughts? What were you feeling about the call last week?
Well, I was like, Jason is off the hook, okay? Jason was like, he's just very strong opinion, which I love. It was a couple things that sparked some some interest and spark some dialogue. Definitely seeing that since he saw his parents have an amicable divorce, that in turn in his relationship, you know, he viewed divorce as an option. That was an interesting point of view. And then also the dime piece on paper. You know, the ladies can't forget that one. that one was gonna come back up, the dime piece on paper. That was interesting as well. So I really look forward to what we're gonna get into tonight. But you know, as Stacey and I talked, ultimately, no matter what you've seen as a child, we know that your scope is limited by your vision, but at the same time, you know, as we grow and evolve and head into having a mind shift, that we have to realize that even though those things shaped us, it's on us to fundamentally become the good people and the best people that we can be, and to grow and nurture, you know, prosperous and fruitful and healthy relationships. So
definitely.
Let's get it in.
Billy, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a good topic. Like if Jason, he shocked everybody. I think he got everybody's attention, which is a good thing in a way, you know. So I appreciate his honesty and his opinions and everything he shared. But it's a good topic in general because this is stuff that we've heard before, you know, that we've known. Like, for example, we knew about people like, for example, a man or even some women who are verbally abusive or who are physically abusive, and many times you can track that back to their parents and they experience their parents doing it. And it reminded me of this quote that I read from this man named David Burroughs. He says, "I know many young men in my neighborhood who were sons of absent, alcoholic, or abusive fathers. They grew up hating their fathers and swearing not to be like them, only to repeat the same behaviors when they grow up." And a lot of men are in their situations. You know, they didn't like to see their mother getting abused. It hurt them, and they swore they would never be like that. But because that's all they absorb, you know, children are like sponges. They absorb what they saw, and they grew up and wind up being like them anyway. And it's until you renew your mind, like what Ayo was saying, you're responsible for getting that right information. You're gonna have to get a mind shift, renew your mind to get rid of all of that, you know, stinking thinking that we've been taught. So those
Definitely.
Are my thoughts.
Definitely. Now, McCartney, I know you were listening in last week, and you're the new kid on the block. So, you know, share your perspective about what we discussed last week before we go into this week's conversation.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to stick around for the entire conversation, but from what I did hear, it seems that everybody pretty much, in some ways, agreed on the same thing, or just saying it in a different way. I believe that what you go through as a child, whether it's the way you monitor your parents' relationships or what have you, or other things, they really play a huge part in how you conduct yourself as an adult. You see examples of it every single day. Every single day, as a man, I come across women every day who obviously have daddy issues. They're either looking for a daddy because they didn't have one, or they had one that was so absent, they have such hatred for their father or lack thereof that they have no use for a man. That's something that runs rampant in our community. I mean, so I think as for any of us who are parents, it's extremely vital that we set the right example for our children as best we can, because, you know, life has a way of throwing curveballs at you, to make sure that we set our children up for success and make sure they have, you know, that they, first of all, that they know what it feels like to be loved, so when they experience it as adults, they know how to handle it, they know how to receive it. And that
you don't mind me asking,
uh-huh,
did you come from a two-parent household or a single-parent household?
Both. Growing up, I initially in the younger part of my childhood, I did have two parents in the household. Towards my adolescence, my teenage years, my parents separated, and I spent my teenage years in a single parent household. But I also have five sisters, so in some mm-hmm. ways I grew up in a six parent household. But that's another story for another day.
Well, how does that affect you in relationships? How does that affect you in relationships? I mean, that influence of six or five sisters. How does that affect your relationship?
It makes you extremely keen, perceptive, and sensitive to women in general. You know, okay. I mean, you have to. Growing up, I was taught. From a very early age, respect for my elders, respect for women, yes ma'am, no ma'am, things like that. And then just when you're in a house and you have all these women, mm-hmm. and anybody that's ever been in any situation that deals with a group of women, there's a lot of different dynamics, a lot of different personalities, and sometimes survival is predicated on who to know to stay the hell away from on one particular day. Like, really and truly. I'm serious. I'm serious as a heart attack and who to stay close to, you know. But you really just become, at least for me, that experience gave me a very keen perception of women and the way they operate, the way they are emotionally, their needs, you know, and likes, dislikes, you know. It was a tremendous education, I could tell you that much.
Now, you mentioned some women that have daddy issues that don't have fathers around mm-hmm. or looking for a father. Elaborate on that.
I think it's an innate need that every child has. Well, let's go away from child. Let's talk about women. Every girl needs that father figure in her life. It's not necessarily her father, but a father figure. And It's kind of like when a baby is first born, it needs all these nutrients from the formula or the breast milk very early in life in order to sustain it throughout childhood and life in general. I think young girls need that father figure to set the example for how to treat them, how to love them, how to respect them very early.
Yep.
Very early in life, so that when they become women, they won't, if they grew up being fed filet mignon their whole life, they won't go digging in the garbage for Spam and bologna, first of all. you have to really, but a lot, unfortunately, in our community, especially, and by our community, I mean the black community, there's not enough of that. There are girls that have absentee fathers, deceased fathers, bad fathers. And because of that, and it's ironic that a lot of women seem to be drawn to the type of men that perpetuate the same type of things that they went through with their fathers as children, being that if they had an abusive father, they seem to attract or be attracted to abusive men. If they had a father that sold drugs or was in and out of jail all the time, those are the type of men that they are seem to be drawn to as adults. So it's important that fathers, especially fathers with daughters, set that example from the get-go of what, first of all, you teach your daughter what her worth is. You know, teach her that she's the prize. The man's not the prize. She's the prize. And once she knows that, once you set the standard so high, it's going to take a special guy, and only a select few are going to be able to meet that standard. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, am I going to have to shoot somebody, or am I going to have to do this to protect my daughter? No. If you set the right example, and if you give her the sustenance she needs as a child, she'll do all the filtering for you. All those other chumps are going to get left in the dust. They're not going to be able to even come close to her because of the standard you set for her as when she was a young child.
Jada.
Yes.
Hey, Jada.
Hi.
Okay, you're also the new kid on the block this week. Tell us your thoughts.
I totally agree with McCartney. The thing of it is, if a young lady grows up with that absent father, just father figure or father in the home, the first thing I just see a lot of young ladies doing is, one, it has a bearing on their self-esteem. And what they end up finding themselves doing is they're falling for the first guy that just gives them that attention that they're looking for, because they didn't have that parent in the household or that father in the household or the father figure saying, you know, you're cute, you're pretty, you're a remarkable young lady, just letting them know what their self-worth. So therefore, they end up just falling for anything, and a lot of times they end up falling for the wrong guys, such as pimps and other guys that just are not going to treat them like they need to be treated, because a lot of women these days, especially these young teenagers, me having an 18-year-old in my household, you know, I make it my business, even though I am a single parent, to teach them how to treat a woman. And the young ladies that he date, they're not used to that. You know, I still believe in chivalry, so therefore I still make him, these young girls, take flowers to the house, open the car door. They so busy running to the door to open the door for themselves instead of just letting a man be a man. And I think as they grow up, that's the reason why they find themselves in a lot of volatile situations.
Gotcha.
You know, that add another little span on it, because, you know, we're talking about how our relationships with our parents affect our relationships with other people. And now we're seeing how a lack of that parent being there affects our relationship with other people. You know, they did a poll once. I can't remember the numbers, but they did a survey of, and they interviewed all of these women who were attracted to thugs. And their number one reason for why they were attracted to thugs, because they liked the security. And almost all of those women that answered that didn't have a father figure in the home. And so they're seeking that security and that safety. So the lack of a parent being there, lack of that father giving that daughter that affirmation of who she is, she hears it from just anybody. Like the lady was saying, you know, anybody come say anything, and now she's falling for it because daddy wasn't there to tell her that she was beautiful. So as soon as Earl comes say, hey, you're beautiful, she fall for it.
We have a question in the chat about how do you account for women who have the father in the home and still engaged in self-destructive behavior?
Well, you first, I would think, have to ask, well, just having a father in the home isn't the cure-all. What type of father is he? What type of relationship does that young lady have with her father, first of all? Is it a healthy one? Is it well-adjusted? A father can be in the home and be absent. Make no mistake about it. He can be physically there and be emotionally absent, you know. So just having a father in the home, just having a man in the home is not the cure-all. The man has to, you know, and let me say this, because I have two children of my own, and I'm not in the household with them, but you can believe that I'm in their life as a daily basis, you know, whether it's whether they're physically with me or we're on the phone. So they get that same, I guess, emotional sustenance from me on a daily basis. There's not a day that passes that my children don't hear that. Daddy loves you every day, multiple times a day. You know, and we talk about school. We talk about the things that they like to do and things of that nature. So I guess you would have to ask, you know, what type of relationship does that young lady have with her father, first of all?
Right. Jason, I know last week you mentioned that you're married. Do you have any children?
No.
Okay, you don't have
any children, but I got to, you know, I can relate to girls, because a lot of times, you know, when I talk about my wife, I might say something, as an example, I might say my wife loves me like a 5-year-old girl loves her daddy, because I know little girls, daddy's girls, not to say that they might have a wonderful father and still might grow up to do things that you might scratch your head about, but I do know having an active father in a girl's life seems to be the biggest deterrent in certain behavior, because they want to disappoint their father. or disrespect their father or embarrass their father because they have so much love and concern for them. So some of the things that they might participate in, they might be like, no, I can't do that because, you know, my daddy, and I can't do that to him. I can't, you know. So that is, I do think it's a big deterrent from a lot of behaviors and participating in a lot of acts. Now, not in all cases, but in generally, my observation, dealing with women, or it does seem like women who have a strong father in their life seem to be, that seems to influence them a great deal versus the ones that didn't have any fathers. I noticed they do have more, they get caught up with more of the knuckleheads out there. You know, they tend to process them, it takes their process of elimination a little longer. By the time they figure out, I know my grandmother used to say, when she talked to my cousins, I had two cousins that were my age, Tina and Trina, and they would date this guy, and they would complain about this type of guy, complain about that type of guy. You know, my grandmother said, you got to lose a couple good men before you know a good man. And they tend to fall in those traps that a lot of women do. They fall in.
Now, McCartney mentioned daddy issues. What do you guys think are daddy issues?
A lot of women, I think, because not really recently, but I've had a woman say "daddy" to me, and be like, "You like that? How that sounds?" I'm like, "Not really. I like grown women. I ain't nobody's daddy, you know." That's not what.
Wait, is this Jason talking? Is this the married man talking? Wait a minute, Jason. I'm lost.
I know I'm gonna throw you a curveball, but
I don't throw no like curveball from last week. That ain't no curveball. Whoever was listening last week.
I don't think that's sexy. I don't think that's a term. I mean, that's something that might work on other guys. A lot of guys like to call me daddy, whatever, all that daddy stuff. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I. That's not. So, I guess the reason why that didn't, I don't think that's cool or sexy to me, because like I said, when you asked the question about daddy issues,
mm-hmm.
I think that's just another issue right there where a woman thinks the man's supposed to be her daddy or treat her like her daddy.
It goes back to just...
And I understand it, but I don't participate in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In that.
So I have a question. Do you guys think? Because I think in relationships, you know, we all play roles from time to time, where, you know, you can seem like you're mothering, or you're the wife, or you know, you have different roles. And sometimes, you know, my husband might take on, like, he is being a daddy in a sense, as in leading me, you know, trying to guide me if I'm, you know, I won't say if I'm not acting right, but, you know, maybe, you know, try to guide me a little bit.
So, when you get beside yourself, sometimes we
play roles that you can lead into having that kind of, you know,
I think at the end of the day, every woman wants a man to be a man. And
right.
There are times when in a relationship between a man and a woman that you all are equals. And then there are times when a man needs to take the reins and be like, okay, this is the time for me to be the man. And this is the time, you know, the car breaks down, you know, something like that. Okay, you know, you're not going to ask your wife to go out there and fix the car. You know, there are certain times when, you know, a woman wants a man to be a man. I mean, women, you guys love like the Brian McKnights and the Maxwells of the world and stuff like that, but you guys don't want that 24/7. You want a little bit of Tupac mixed in there. You want your man to be masculine
exactly.
At times, because all that sugar and sweetness gets on your nerves after a while.
Well,
so, yeah, we do play roles, you know, the same way, you know, we as men, we like our women at times to be somewhat submissive and meek and things like that. But there are other times where we want them to have a little backbone too. You know, at least I do. I can't speak for everybody, but I think, you know, that's the case with most guys.
Ladies, I need to hear from my girls. I need to hear from Jada or Jessica, please.
Stacey, this is Jessica. I put in the chat room earlier that I was told that I had daddy issues. And that was because I was raised with both my parents, right? And to this day, I'm still a daddy's girl. And I was told I had daddy issues because I kind of expect most guys that I meet to have some of the same traits that my dad had. And which I think that's a good thing, but I was told that it's unfair for me to expect guys to be like my father. Not that I want them to be like my father daddy. Not that I want that, but I mean, I just love my dad so much, and I enjoyed seeing the way he treated my mom until I just expect that same treatment. And I just think it's normal coming from all guys. And somebody asked what were the characteristics or symptoms of a person with daddy issues. A young lady maybe who's raised with a father in the home who had a good father, and they still engage in destructive behavior. I've known women who did this, and mostly it's because they live a sheltered life and they feel that they haven't experienced something because they had somebody watching them all the time. And so maybe now it's time to go to college, or you're a senior in high school and you see everybody doing these things that you've never been able to do because you had this father in the home watching you. Most of the time it's because they feel they missed something. And so sometimes they'll engage in activity that's abnormal for them, or what we would call abnormal for a person who was raised with both parents in the home. And so sometimes it just starts with something simple, and it ends up, being something more drastic or more complex. And so usually that's how that happens. When you live a sheltered life, like my father was a preacher or whatever, and I know most people say the church girls are the worst ones. And they kind of get out there and do some wild
stuff. Never heard that before.
I still hear it all the time. I still hear it. And in some cases, it's just because, you know, they live a sheltered life, and they have that father who's there all the time. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like I say, to this day, I love my dad. I mean, he's such an awesome guy that I see the good in all men. And sometimes that's kind of I'm going into something blind because I just see most men as being good. And it's later on when I see the craziness, you know, because that's what I'm used to. And
I want to address what she just said. People have said that you have daddy issues. I totally disagree. You are the complete opposite of what my definition of a woman with daddy issues is.
Right,
it sounds like to me like your father did what he was supposed to do. He loved you in a way that you were supposed to be loved. You saw him love your mother in a way that it should happen, so that now you expect that of the man that you want in your life. And those that say it's not fair, that's because in my opinion, they're not man enough to meet or uphold the standards that your father set for you as a young girl. And those are precisely the men I think that you probably don't want anyway, because if they can't at least attain the standards that your father set for you as a young girl, then they should probably they need to go pick somebody else, because, you know, the guys that can attain that standard or meet that standard are going to be the ones that are going to, I think, probably be better, you know. So I don't think she has daddy issues. I think she's the exact opposite of that. It's the ones that didn't get that kind, that didn't see that growing up, that didn't get that kind of love growing up, that have the daddy issues, that are looking for it as women. They're looking for a man to do for them as women what their father should have done for them as children.
All right, Jason. Go ahead, Jason. I have a question for you, but go ahead.
Let's say I agree with him, or I think she is right about that. But I think her expectations might be a lot higher than what most men probably in her age group might not have to be evolved to stand to the point to which her dad invested in her to think as, you know, as how to treat a woman and so forth like that. But so
the bar
like
is right.
Yeah, the bar is higher than what I guess a lot of guys out there. So her pickings might be a little slim, but you know, I just say keep that in mind as well.
There was a question in the chat room about which of you have encountered a woman that had daddy issues, and what were some of the characteristics or the problems that you had to deal with that woman with daddy issues?
Every woman I've ever dated.
Stop it. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I haven't had an issue with women with daddy issues, per se, but I would say, to me, I value knowing what type of guy women like, what kind of guys did they choose previously. Like, I like to know their boyfriend history so I can see what type of guys they choose before me. Cause to me, that's some valuable information in the decision-making process. And so,
Well, how about, aren't some people able to have a new or some type of transformation? You know, maybe somebody dated some thugs and some lowlifes back when they were in the early years.
I'm not saying I would judge them on it. I wouldn't say I would judge. I didn't say anything about judging them. I just said it was useful information.
Okay.
And I do know people. How is it useful? Oh, it tells me a little bit about their personality, a little bit about what kind of guys they like or what kind of, you know, just tells me useful information. I know with me, I know I wear many hats. I got different types of my different parts of my personality. And
but that doesn't describe their personality. I'm sorry for just cutting you off.
Actually, it does describe their personality a little bit, about what they like to be around, surround themselves around, what kind of guys that they particularly like. It does say something a little bit about them.
Data,
not to
what's
say
your take
I'm
on
judging
that?
Them.
Well, I guess my – okay, go ahead, Jason.
But I know like, for instance, my mother, for example, I got to see my mom have a boyfriend and so forth. And she had a different whole spectrum of guys that she typically liked, you know. It was very diverse, white collar, blue collar, all different types. And a lot of them I liked. Some very few of them I didn't like. I thought were pretty cool dudes. But it also made me realize that that she declined from my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at my father and I look at, you know, her pickings and looking, getting to know these guys and paying attention to how they treat her and how they manage themselves, I was like, I could see where, as she got older, it seems like she got more and more desperate or the options or whatever. It just seemed to decline, if you ask me. But And everybody might not agree with that, but I always like to know at least three guys that she may have loved in her past, and I like to know something about them because that tells me something about her that she could love these three guys. What is she seeing them? What kind of character did they have? I don't know. But that's me. I never really – the daddy thing, cause I met too many people that didn't have daddies, girls that did have daddies, where it didn't affect me very much. As long as they respected me and they understood, you know, how what I like and what I don't like and whatever, it didn't bother me.
I want to hear what Jada said. What were you going to say? Hold on one second, please. I'll just I know Jada was trying to say something to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jada.
Oh, okay. Yes. In reference to Jason and the personality thing, I guess I was just saying it because I've burned the candle at both ends of the stick. Yes, I did even going into relationships as a teenager. And in my early 20s, yes, I did have daddy issues as far as insecurity, feeling wanted, or what have you. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to transition from that perspective and just learn my own self-worth. So, I mean, you can't just base off past dates or people that you have dated in the past who that person is. Because as you get older, I would hope, you know, you learn exactly who you are.
I just said information. After this information that I use, and I do think that that's one little smidgen amongst a lot of influencing, information that I might gather, you know. And, like, I'm not in the business of judging people. My forte is understanding and communication. So any information provided to me, I try to use it for my understanding and to better understand them, not to judge.
Well, here's my question about that, Jason. So say, for example, you come across a woman that has tons of issues. She's dated every sleazeball imaginable, and then she dates you. What does that say about you?
I think that's what does it say about me?
Yeah, because now she's attracting you. So if you're saying you're going on her past relationships, what does that say about you? Is that a reflection of you?
You know, when you say they're all kind of types of guys, well, this way. Well, to me, what that tells me is that she dated, for example, how to put that? I remember in college I dated a young lady that had been around the block a couple of times, the block a lot. And at the same time when I called, I was dating another girl, hey, I ain't been in the block around the block none. So in conversation, when I would get certain compliments on certain things, the girl that had been around a block a couple of things resonated with me more because I think she was well-lived, more lived. She experienced more things. So her compliment meant more to me than the other young lady because, hell, she don't know. She ain't lived a lot. She ain't seen a lot. She ain't did a lot. So it depends on how you look at it.
I think initially that a woman being attracted to, if she dated all kinds of sleazeballs and now she's dating whoever, that's not necessarily a reflection on the new guy because initially
I agree with that.
All about physical attraction anyway. You know, she might like his hair or his shoes or something like that initially. You know, you kind of have to go down the road a little bit first before you can say whether or not, you know, her relationship with him is a reflection on him. You know, she could be trying to turn the corner.
And, you know, I've always had a saying that, you know, you stay out of profiles and you get away with murder. Walking through the door, I look nothing like how my personality is.
Amen to that.
What does been around the block mean? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Like, that's like loose as a goose, promiscuous, or what?
You know, I'm not promiscuous. I think is another falls in the categories of judging someone. But I would say she's been around the block. She lived. She's experienced. She's done things. Some people would deem as promiscuous. You know, possibly. Yeah. But,
what do you mean that's a judgment term if somebody's promiscuous?
I say it can be.
That's why I use
it a little bit differently than you. I didn't call it promiscuous. I say some people would deem it promiscuous, possibly, you know.
So what does this statement mean to you guys? When you guys hear someone say you attract that which you are, what does that mean to you?
Well, that's what I say. I think I would attract many things because there's so many. I wear so many. There's so many different parts of my personality. I got a mansion, and in my mansion I got a lot of rooms, and each person that I may have encountered throughout my years might have opened a different room in that mansion that let me know something else about myself. I do know when dealing with in relationships, what happens is when you really get to know someone, and it gets to a point that when you can calculate 90% of the time, you can mentally calculate an outcome. And be correct. Now, if you can mentally calculate a response to stimuli, a facial expression, or taste, touch, whatever the five senses are, or that sixth sense, and be accurate, that means there's no anticipation because you already know what's going to happen. And if there's no anticipation, there's no mental stimulation. There's no passion. Okay? For someone who has a sexual...
But aren't you expecting that, though? Isn't that kind of like we're getting into the law of expectation, where if you already have a predetermined where you said, okay, 90%, this is what I read this person as, that that's exactly what's going to happen, that you, because that's what you expect?
Well, I would say this. If, as you get to mature and get to really, really know a person, that's the natural order of things. But I would say some people are a little bit more complex than others. They're a little bit more, there's more sides to them than meets the eye, and they investigate those different parts of their personality. But some people don't. Now, if they're not like me, where I got a little bit of everybody, you know, I understand a lot of the knucklehead thugs. I understand. I'm very conservative fiscally. I can't go to jail. That's not an option for me. So it's a big deterrent from crimes. But I understand. But what I'm saying is someone that investigates and who has had more doors open in their mansion and is very curious about life and have lived typically can captivate me longer than someone that doesn't or hasn't. So that 90, I get to that 90%. I would say I would probably get to that 90% quicker than I would someone who hasn't. When I say 90%, I'm talking about I could mentally calculate 90% of the time what they would say, what they would do, how they would feel, or you know, I get it. So since I've kind of got the gist of everything, it seems like, you know, the enthusiasm or the kind of goes down a little bit because you get bored. I'm saying that's what happens in a lot of relationships. And I think when you're conscious of that, you can act accordingly, fairly. But when you're not conscious of that, you're bored and you call them boring. You call them boring. When it's really not that they are boring, it's the fact that you just know them so well. That means, you know, your neurons and the axons are not popping like they used to because you're not getting all this new information in.
That's an interesting phrase.
Who had a question?
Excuse me?
Go ahead. You guys go ahead. I think that's McCartney.
I'm sorry?
Can I break in 1 second, guys, because we have someone in the chat room, Amelita Sims. She's making some points in the chat room, and she also called in. But her question was this. You, earlier in the conversation, we talked about wearing different hats and playing different roles, and she wanted to know, when do you know when to change roles? You know, like Io talked about, her husband can take on more of that daddy-type role when he needs to. But especially for men that did not have a father around or did not have that positive male figure around, how do you know when to switch hats? When do you know when to turn it on and turn it off? When do you become Tupac and when do you become Brian McKnight? How do you know that? How do you learn that?
Oh, you don't learn that, at least for me. You don't learn that. It's just something you know. You have to pay attention. People, society in general likes to make women to be out like these complicated people. Women are not complicated. They're complex, but they're not complicated. A woman will tell you everything you need to know if you just pay attention.
Well, that's true.
May not be always be verbal cues, but if you know your lady well enough and you
and you know when they're contradicting themselves.
So basically, you have to be attentive.
Yeah, I've had conversations with my wife where I would say, you know, where I can see that for some reason the conversation's not going like, you know, like it normally does. And I will say, you know what, I think we're under the influence of some very strong hormones right now where we're not going to get a resolution right now. So let's, you know, wait another week or two and try to have this conversation again.
And to go back to Jason's point earlier, a very important aspect of knowing when to change hats or when to switch roles or what have you is the communication. That's one of the most important parts of any relationship is to communicate. If things aren't clicking the way they should be, then it's up to one person to say, okay, this is what I need, this is what I want, please give it to me. Or for a person to say, what do you need, what do you want, what can I do in order for us to start clicking again, so to speak.
Or the snowball effect of what doesn't happen, what happens or doesn't happen from not taking adhering to, you know, certain things that you communicated about. I know in my household, back to like the I want to go back to where we were talking about also for a quick second about when we were talking about daddies and mothers. Being that I grew up in a household where my mom managed her house this way and my dad managed his house another way when I was a kid, I used to always say, well, how mama managed my house? Because it might be completely different based on how my mom and father managed it and so forth. And in this household, I speak a lot about courage because it takes courage to be honest and it takes courage to be real, real. You know, and I think in communicating and living life and so forth, it takes courage to be who you are. And what I offer is my wife is, or people who know me or in my life, to be their absolute self without resentment from me or judgment from me. I just want you to be who you are and be real about who you are and so forth. And I think in one of the things that I processed eliminating when I chose my wife was the fact that one of the most things that I value the most about her that I didn't see in other people was the fact that I can be my absolute self with my all my little grimy little ways and still make her happy. She's still beaming when I walk through the door and I get into bed or whatever. She just seems happy, and I can. It's been other instances where I might have really was digging a girl, but it seemed like I had to be out of my element. I had to jump through some hoops, hurt my back to make them happy. And I was like, "Oh, it's a lot of work. Can I sustain this all the time? You know, this just right. You know, I can't do this 5, 10, 20 years." So with her, that was a big factor in choosing her as my life partner.
I just think with that being said, I'm sorry, Stacey, with that being said in terms of people being who they are, women wanting people to be who they are, we all want you to be the real you. Be yourself so we'll know exactly who you are and what we're getting into it, who we're getting into a relationship with. However, it's just a matter of our tolerance level in terms of what we're willing to put up with in the relationship. So what she may be willing to do or tolerate may not be what the next chick would.
That, I mean, any relationship, what's acceptable by the individual and what's not. I mean, of course. I mean, if I'm a completely different person when I'm around my dad, when I'm around my mom, when I'm around my brothers, because in managing all the relationships I deal with, I already know I handle things differently based on their personality. Now, I don't necessarily change myself because I'm real all day long. I'm me all day long. But the way I deal with certain people, I manage relationships accordingly to our relationship. Certain things that I may say or talk or do with my younger brother because I might have gotten burnt dealing with him versus my older brother because he has his, you know, it's different. The way I, you know, handle issues with my wife is completely different than I would do anyone else, but it comes from learning, paying attention to this person, and if they are a person, an important person in your life, and they're going to be around, you need to learn them and govern relationship, communicate how you want them to treat you, and so forth, and act accordingly. What I said before was, I said, I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to be your absolute self without resentment. Because
guys,
I don't like to say I want to do this, and someone say, well, you can do that, or you can go ahead, or it's cool, but it ain't
cool.
Hold
on 1 second, Jason. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Let me cut in for 1 minute, because you guys shared a lot of great points. But I want to go back to what we were discussing, because I see we're coming up to the end of the show. So before we raise some new topics or some new ideas or whatever it may be, I want us to recap what we've discussed, because at the end of the day, the show is about how our relationships with our parents and what we witness as children affects our relationships now as adults. So basically, if each of you guys can tell me, based on what you saw growing up, what type of effect or impact is that making on your adult relationships now, if you could just tell me really quick. How does it affect you in relationships now? We'll start off with you, McCartney.
Well, like I said, growing up with you know, having 5 different women in the house with 20 different personalities, it made me very sensitive and keen to, you know, the emotional fluctuations of women. And so that has served me well in some relationships, and it has served to my detriment in some relationships, because some women don't like when you can pick up on every little quirk sometimes. You know, that's not always endearing to every woman. So I think having seen my mother and my sisters and all of them go through their fair share of heartbreak with men has made me, I guess, determined not to be that way, you know, not to be that way. That if I, you know, if I commit to a woman, I commit 100. I'm an all or nothing type of guy. Either you have me 100% or you have me 0%, you know. And so, you know, I don't play games when it comes to matters of the heart, because, you know, that's a dangerous game to play, a very dangerous game to play. So that's the way it affected me.
That's right. Jada, how about you?
Yes. Yeah, I believe just me growing up in a single-parent home and me also just watching the relationship that my mom has had with men growing up has impacted me tremendously. Also, I think it has just really set the precedent in terms of what I'm looking for in a man, and I just want him to be just a upstanding gentleman. I just know how I want to be treated, and it's the total opposite of what I've seen my mother go through. So I think, you know, there are some positives and negatives in terms of how you watch your parents in these relationships, but it's just at the end of the day, you're determining whether or not you're going to fall, be a recycle generation, or you're going to impact the generation differently.
Great point. And that was the next question. At what point do we take responsibility for our own actions and the decisions that we make? Because many times you hear people say, well, I grew up seeing it that way, or my dad did it this way, my mom did it that way, or I didn't have a mom or dad around. At what point do we take responsibility for our actions? How do we make the shift?
I think for me, I just got tired of being the cycle of the generation and just looking at my, not just my mother, but my family members' past relationships. And I was just like, I want something different. Why can't someone just have a different impact in order for the next generation behind me to do something totally different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree with her. I think it just comes from just wanting to turn that corner and be the catalyst for change. You can either perpetuate or you can be the catalyst for change. I think once you get to that point in your life where you want something different, not just for yourself, but for your family and your children, you begin to work to make the changes necessary to make sure that those bad things or those issues aren't perpetuated any further in your life, and certainly not in your children's lives.
Great point.
I know what's
been... Go ahead, Jason. Go ahead.
I know what for me, at a young age, I just... Like I said, my mom managed her house completely different than my dad. and acts at a young age, what made sense and what didn't make sense, and how I was going to manage my house. And at a young age, I was like, you know, some of the things my mom did, I was like, that just don't make sense. Some of the things under her house, you're like, when you get your own house, you can do it your way. My dad said similar things to that, and I just said, I took what I thought was logical and what made sense and what worked from both the households and did things differently, you know, in my house. And I have to remind them when they come up to my house, this is how I do it. But as far as the relationship-wise, how that influenced my relationship, I've communicated things pretty good with, you know, my wife, and she grew her mother and father are still together. They're pretty traditional people. She was raised in Germany, but she seems to be, she's a very flexible person, and she tends to go with what makes sense. And if I can put it in a sentence or in, if she can make sense of it, then she's on board. If she can't make sense of it, then luckily we hadn't had that problem. So we're normally on the same page.
All right. Billy and Io, what are your closing thoughts or remarks on the topic?
I just want to say that, you know, it's not too late, you know, regardless of what we learned, the negative from our parents, we can renew our mind and become that better person in a better relationship, because it's hard to find the right one when you're the wrong one. So we just need to work on ourselves and be the right one. That's it.
Definitely.
I'm going to say amen. That's right. So I agree. I mean, you know, at some point you got to take responsibility. I think we're in a generation of it's always somebody else's fault. And once you realize that you got issues, you got mommy issues or daddy issues or whatever you have, that you have to, you know, acknowledge that and realize and be committed that I'm going to be the one to make the change, because you're, you know, at the end of the day, it's only you that can do that. Nobody else can.
Definitely.
So, you know, it starts with self. And, you know, that's why we're on here. Self-improvement and personal development and self-growth is a fundamental part of any relationship. If you guys aren't growing together in a healthy direction, then you're going to lose. So that's my takeaway.
Well, I thank you all for being on the show tonight. You know, as always, it's a pleasure to have new guests on the show, just new perspectives. And I respect all of you guys for being so completely transparent and honest and open and willing to share your thoughts and your perspectives. So I thank you all for being on the show tonight. And, you know, like I said, you guys shared a lot of great points. And I was taking notes while you guys were talking. And just to throw this out really quick, just to recap really quick what we discussed, some of the things that I heard throughout the conversation, there were some key things that were mentioned in terms of having those healthy relationships, despite what you saw growing up or what you may have experienced. Basically, the first thing was communication. I saw communication coming up in the chat room as well as on this call, making sure that you're communicating, making sure that you're being attentive. McCartney talked about this, making sure that you have the courage to be honest and being transparent, as what Jason mentioned. And then finally, you know, just being your absolute self across the board and taking responsibility, as Io just said, as Billy just said, making sure that we're being adults. And when we're ready for change, then we have to make that change within ourselves before we can see change in our relationships. But it was great to have you guys on here. As always, I appreciate all of you that are listening to Mindshift Talk Radio. We encourage you to be here every week with us at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, you can reach us on Facebook at mindshifttalkradio.com. And also feel free to go online and listen to the replays of these shows and share it with other individuals. Again, you know, it's about coming to a neutral and a safe place to share different perspectives. You definitely want to come here with an open mind. But, again, we appreciate you all for your support, and we look forward to hearing from you guys next week as well. So for those of you that called in and had questions, and for those of you that were in the chat room, thank you, thank you, thank you. But that is it for this week's episode of Mindshift Talk Radio. Make sure you're here next week, same time, same place. And that is it. You guys be blessed and have a phenomenal week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I'll be nice.
Mindshift Radio.